Hello, hello, and welcome back to The Flick. This week's episode features Paul Smith. He's a guest writer for Flick Editorial and just wrote an article titled Maximize Your Future by Focusing on the Present, a Short and Informal Mathematical Proof, in which he attempted, and I think succeeded, in using a mathematical proof to prove that things always work out. As someone who's been having a lot of anxiety about things lately, it was actually pretty heartwarming to read his article and to see him go through the math behind it all. It's nice to know that even I am the complete opposite of a math person, math might still be on my side. Hey, Paul, welcome to our podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here. I have to ask before we even get started, what are you drinking today?
A little bit of coffee and a little bit of gin and tonic right now.
That's the multitasking we need. That's the perfect drink combination.
It's a Friday of midterms week right there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm drinking the local roots Boochmosa. So it's like kombucha, hard kombucha, but it tastes kind of like a mimosa. So not really an afternoon drink, but we'll roll with it.
Exactly.
But honestly, I'm just really excited to talk about your article. I am not a math person, but I really appreciated it. And I love that you literally used a mathematical proof to prove beyond a doubt that things will work out. So can you just tell me and the listeners more about kind of what was going on in your head and more about your proof in general?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I am a math person. I'm doing my master's in math. I love math. Most of the time. So I thought if I'm going to approach this, I might as well do what I know and come at it with a little bit of rigorous math, especially because everyone likes it so much. It's just, I like math a lot. It's something that I've always loved. And I thought it'd be kind of a unique take on this topic.
And tell me more about your proof and kind of how it worked, maybe more in a layman's term, because I, again, am not a math person.
Okay, yeah, so the equation I use is the Euler-Lagrange equation, and I'm using proof a little hand-wavy, and for any rigorous mathematicians out there that might be rolling their eyes or giving me the cold shoulder, that's fine. But the proof is more about optimizing a function given constraints and boundary conditions, and all that means in layman's terms is you have something and you have a bunch of obstacles, and you have some starting point and some ending point, and you want to find the best way to get from A to B. So I thought I'd take that and apply that to everyday life.
And so what did you prove exactly?
Okay, so I proved that the best way to make progress is to look at your immediate situation and find how you can improve it in the best way, but also in the smallest way. So it doesn't need to be some huge groundbreaking step. It just needs to be one tiny, tiny step in a direction that improves the situation. And mathematically, that's how you optimize a path or a solution or a function or a functional or anything like that.
Wow. And it turns out even math knows things will always work out.
Exactly.
That's just so interesting to me because I never would have thought to use math to win an argument with my mom about why I'm not applying for jobs or whatever thing they're mad at you. Mom, yeah, it'll always work out.
You know, the hope is if she doesn't know the math as well, then you can kind of just bring the argument to a standstill, because I think a stalemate's the only way to win an argument with your mom.
Yeah, there's no such thing as like fully winning an argument with your mom.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll not.
Only, even if you win, it's just a stalemate.
Yeah, if you win, it doesn't feel like a win in the long run.
No, not at all. Speaking of things you love, what do you like about math? What do you love math? I'm assuming for quite some time.
I have, yeah. I think so. I did not like math in high school, and even like early in college. But the problem is the math, when most people think about math, they're not thinking about real math any more than if you thought about sports and you only thought about like doing runs and weightlifting and doing all the training parts, that is no more sports than like high school math is to like college and upper level math. So, of course, no one likes the grunt work and the going through the motions. But once you kind of break through and get to the higher level stuff, then it gets really, really fun. And it's so satisfying. It's so applicable. It's so connected to real life in both applied and abstract ways.
Wow. So in terms of high school math, what you're saying is that even though I absolutely hated high school math in high school, I could have liked college math.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Yeah, they're very
That's
different.
well, that's good news. I mean, I don't know if I would have had a strong enough foundation to go to do a lot of math in college, but it's nice to know I would have liked it more.
Yeah, you could have been a mathematician. It's not too late.
It's a little too late for but it's not too late for those younger listeners out there who are
Exactly.
just starting their college journey during a pandemic.
It's a great time to start.
It's probably
No.
a good time to learn math. There's nothing else to do.
That really sets the bar pretty low for math. So thank you.
And that's not me doing it justice because you really do make math sound so much more romantic and whimsical than I think traditional society gives it credit for.
Yeah.
And I know we kind of talked about this a little bit, but just that love of math is clearly coming from somewhere. Do you have any like early memories of a moment where you just were like, wow, these numbers are amazing?
Unfortunately, no, not with numbers. But I do remember a time, I think I was taking, it might have been like Calc 2 or Calc 3, because I came in as engineering to college. I was taking like one of the calc classes, and we did. There was some problem, and I can't remember what the problem was. But when the professor posed it, I thought like, okay, this is impossible to solve. There is no way you can do this. Then he whipped out some fancy calculus, and like 2 lines later, we have this easy, elegant, beautiful solution. And I remember sitting there just dumbfounded that math or that calculus was this magical and powerful and like mind-blowingly amazing. And I was pretty much hooked from then on.
Wow, that's a nice story. I feel like, when it comes to math and really any subject, but I do think like the professor or the teacher or the person who's kind of showing you the ropes makes a huge difference. And when you have someone who can really show a beauty in a subject, it makes everyone more interested in wanting to learn.
Yeah, it does. And they do make a huge difference. It's really important.
Yeah. Would you ever want to be a teacher?
That's the end goal. Yeah, I'd like to get my PhD down the road, and being a math professor has kind of always been my back pocket dream.
Yeah.
We'll see how it works out, but I would love to do that.
I mean, I have to say, just even reading your article, I think the best professors are the ones who clearly enjoy what they're teaching, and you clearly have a very strong passion for not only math, but I guess like how it connects to life and sort of the hidden secrets that the world might hold via math, or I don't know exactly what I'm saying, but you, aka, you'd make a good teacher.
Thank you. No, I think you're exactly right. If you can kind of tease out those like kind of hidden connections and really motivate math with a tangible example, then it really does motivate and kind of like plant the seeds for interest.
Oh, and just make it more fun.
Oh my God, yeah,
Like,
that's a big one.
let's make math more fun.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. They don't do a great job of it 99% of the time.
Yeah, like no more train problems. Make it like a rocket, or make it like or make related to superheroes. I don't know, but make it more fun.
Gotta do something, or food, or drinks. Like that always gets me going.
Yeah, make it would be funny if there was like a whole series of math problems for college students that just related to like drinking and blood alcohol content level.
Yeah, it's like an alcohol diffusion in the blood. Get a
Yeah.
differential equation going.
Exactly. And then it's like, and then later that night when they all go out drinking, I mean, not now because of COVID, but
Course.
before, they could have really been like, wow, I'm really using math today.
Exactly. I'll tell you, going to a bar and spitting some math equations, nothing makes you friends like doing that. I know from firsthand experience.
Right? Probably also gets you girls.
I'll be honest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Girls do like a good math equation.
Girls or boys or non-binary, whoever's, all people like math.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
I guess that kind of like makes me think just in terms of applying it to real life. Do you have a philosophy for life at all? And do you relate it back to math, or do you just have like a general, good things are coming, no bad vibes type thing going on?
I think generally good things are coming, but I think I'm maybe biased because I think I might be like one of the luckiest people I've ever met, where things just I think work out, and I just get lucky, and if there's something wrong going on, it just works out. And so maybe I'm the wrong person to ask about philosophy because I don't know if I need a philosophy. I just kind of trust that things work out, and they do.
Do you have an example of like do things just always kind of work out, or did you like accidentally pick up Sean Penn's dry cleaning and then they asked you to be in the new James Bond? Like, how lucky are
Okay,
you?
well, not that that's the bar is set pretty high with that one, so not that lucky. But
Like,
I
do you
think,
have a fun, lucky story?
oh man, I should have prepared something. I don't think I do. I just think that if you just trust that things are gonna work out and you act every day like things are gonna work out, then they do.
I feel like
It's
that's,
like
I don't know if that's lucky. That's like you just are smooth riding, or I don't
maybe
know.
that's it. But it
I feel
also
like,
helps to be lucky first, and then it's easier to believe it.
well, that I feel like that kind of relates a little bit, but not really, to my philosophy, which is that it's always better to ask forgiveness than permission.
Yes,
Which, like, it's always
absolutely.
better to be lucky first and then figure out why it happened later, but it's also really good to just kind of do what you need to do and then be like, oh, sorry about that.
Exactly. Just whip out some math and then bring the conversation to a stalemate.
Especially for those of you who are listening and are currently in like a working type field, it's always better to ask, like, do whatever you need to do first and then whip out some statistics about why it was good for the company via math later.
Exactly. Yeah, you had some expected value. It didn't materialize, but your intentions were good.
But yeah, and this is all the important data that you gathered for our company. Now we'll be able to move forward with these learned lessons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the moral here is just lie with math and just hope things work out.
I mean, I'm not, your proof is not a lie, but it's definitely a feel good mathematical proof. So is that a little white lie?
It's just math. Just it is what it is.
Can
I
you
think
even lie?
that
Can you even lie with math?
you well there's lies, there's damn lies, and there's statistics. So I don't know if you count that, but with stats you can definitely lie.
Okay, what's the difference between lies, damn lies, and statistics?
I think it's just a I can't remember who said that. It's just a famous saying from someone famous and smart.
Well,
So I'm just stealing it from them.
hats off to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Although I will say I see a lot of people like lie. I've done it too, like lie with statistics. Like,
Oh my God, yeah.
I don't know if you ever saw that funny tweet that was like, if you cheat on your girl one day a week, that means you're faithful to her like 99.8% of the time, which is still an A plus. And then someone tweeted back, like, well, if you read the syllabus, you would know cheating results in an automatic zero.
Yeah, exactly. So you gotta be careful with the math. Don't pull any math and come back to us and blame us.
Exactly. And for those of you who are in your car driving, I think an ambulance just drove by one of us, and you are not getting arrested.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in Manhattan, so we're gonna hear a lot more of those.
Oh, what other fun Manhattan sounds might we hear? A pigeon, perhaps?
They're pretty quiet, but you might hear the occasional crazy person yelling.
Yeah, well, that's everywhere these days.
That's true. Yeah. It's fun to have.
So now that you're kind of gearing up for your potentially next mathematical proof, what's another life truth or idea about life that you would like to prove with math?
Oh, the next life math proof. That's tough. I mean, maybe looking at COVID, I think it's really important to remember that even though, I mean, at least for me, it's really easy to feel really, really alone during this time of social distancing and of, like extreme disconnection from strangers, even more so than just normal strangeness. I think it's important to remember degrees of separation. Remember that we're much more connected than we think. And that's important both in stopping the spread of COVID, but in also just reminding ourselves that we're not alone in society during this extremely lonely time.
Yeah.
So that could be a fun proof.
I really like that. I would love for you to do that proof so that I could read it and pretend to understand math a little bit more.
I could pretend to feel less lonely with math.
I mean, it is a hard time right now. I don't think anyone is sitting at home being like, I'm more connected to everyone than ever. Like, I've never spent this much time with my friends.
It's a tough time. It's easy to forget that we're all still part of society.
Yeah. And we're all in it together.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a weird way, I think at least we all kind of now have this like shared experience and almost like shared trauma of surviving a pandemic together.
Oh my God. Conversations in a bar are going to be so easy once this whole thing ends.
There's gonna be like a whole like mark in time, like, oh, that was before the pandemic, or oh, that was after the pandemic.
Yeah. There's going to be easy questions like go-tos, like, what'd you do during the pandemic? How much weight did you gain or lose?
Yeah.
What
I
kind of
mean,
books did you read or lie about?
don't ask how much weight you gain or lost to any girl in the bar, just for those of
Hey,
you listening.
it's an easy conversation right there. I know my number. I know everyone else knows theirs.
I would flip it back. I'd be like, how much weight do you think I gained or lost?
Oh my God, I would. Okay, well, I'm glad we're not in the bar because I would fail that so quickly.
I mean, well, now you know. Now you know, team. That's not the best COVID pickup line in a bar.
Yeah, see, thank you. I'll provide the math and you can provide me with like social etiquette.
Yeah, well, maybe we can come up with a good like math pickup line at some point.
I'm telling you right now, ask my roommates, I've tried them all. None of them have worked.
None. But
None.
Tennessee, because you're the only 10 I see, that doesn't really get you anywhere.
It's just too overused. All the good math ones are overused, and all the obscure math ones are just you lose them too quickly.
Too obscure.
Yeah.
Well, cheer, virtual cheers with your gin and tonic
Virtual cheers.
to a year or time or whenever that we could actually physically go to a bar and do a little experiment using some mathematical pickup lines.
I'm looking forward to that.
Me too. I'm absolutely looking forward to it. Well, I just want to thank you so much for coming on. I thought your article was just honestly like the sweetest way to think about life and math and how they intersect and sort of a definitive way to say that we need to stop stressing out and things are going to be okay.
Yeah, thank you very much. I had a really good time writing it. It was nice to have a great medium to publish. All right, you can find it under the opinion pieces on Flick Editorial.
And definitely give it a read, guys. It's an excellent article. Even if you're not a math person, you will find yourself smiling at the end. So, absolutely give it a peep.
If you don't like it, there's plenty of good things to read on Flick Editorial.
That is so sweet and such a humble way to say, go read my article still. Well, thank you again for coming on. And I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. And I hope you have another gin and tonic to celebrate the fact that you mathematically have proven that things are going to work out. And I'm going to mutter that to myself later today when I can't go outside.
I'm gonna see you, and I'll rest well.
Thank you for listening to The Flick. You don't have to share or follow, but it'd be really cool if you did. Thanks for listening.